Now, Roger Goodell, the commissioner, at the podium.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded the 7th pick to the Buffalo Bills. With the 7th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming.
Tre'Davious White, defensive back, LSU.
Jermaine Edmonds, linebacker, Virginia Tech.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. It's Tuesday, folks, and you know what that means. It is Twitter Tuesday here on this podcast. And once again, you guys brought item after item for me to get into, a loaded show of a lot of different great angles and talking points to get into, and I'm going to get into every single one that was sent in to me. So we'll try to get through this as quickly as we can, but this might be a little bit longer of a podcast, and I don't know. We might have to have Twitter Tuesday and Thursday at the rate that this is going. I mean, you guys are filling this thing up. As a reminder, you can get your Twitter Tuesday takes and questions in. The best way to do it, well, there's no best way to do it. There's two ways to do it. You can hit me up on Twitter at TheJoeMarino with the hashtag Twitter Tuesday, or you can send me an email, joe@thedraftnetwork.com. And if you forget that, you can check it out in my Twitter bio, joe@thedraftnetwork.com. Several emails came in this week. Let's get to it. The first one from Andy Jurdy. He says, I've been dead set on drafting at least two or three defensive linemen. A lot of people have pointed to the uncertainty at defensive end next year with only Trent Murphy under contract, but one of my big concerns is with the offense. I feel like this will be a boom or bust offense with Josh Allen at the helm. He loves to stretch the field vertically. This can lead to quick scores, but it can also lead to three and outs. I think this offense will never be an offense that chews up the clock with 10, 12 play drives, thus putting us on the wrong end of time of possession. That's why I think we will need a lot of depth on the defensive line, and we'll need to rotate guys in and out and keep them fresh. Your thoughts? Andy, that's a very fair point. I agree with your concern. And I remember, I mean, Tyrod was the king of the three and outs. Like, the Bills were leading the league in three and outs under Tyrod Taylor. And I remember being forced to put the defense back out there over and over and over again. And you can only ask so much from them. These guys get tired. And so, yeah, I think that further, I guess that exacerbates the issue of needing defensive line help beyond just the long term. But you need a deep pool of defensive linemen to be fresh, to go in there, to have energy on every single play. And if Josh Allen's going to be a high variance passer in terms of whether or not he hits those vertical shots, or if drives stall, then yeah, I think it further heightens that need. So I think you're onto something here. I can get on board with that as another reason, because you know I'm on board with defensive line at number 9. And again at 40. I think if you guys recall, my ideal draft for the Bills was that Oliver at 9 and Chase Winovich at 40. That speaks to me seeing the need there, and I wasn't even considering the point that Andy brought up here in terms of there being a bigger need, not just because of the reasons we talk about, but because the offense may not be a continuous, you know, drive-sustaining type offense. So, Andy, I think you bring a good point to the table there, and I agree with you. Justin Paldofino, he says, from a predictive mindset, how do you think Brandon Bean will rank the following players on his big board? At Oliver, Christian Wilkins, Brian Burns, Montez Sweat, TJ Hockenson, DK Metcalf, Juwan Taylor, Jonah Williams. Am I missing anyone else that could be in play at number 9? What players have to be off the board for Bean to get serious about trading down? I think you're missing two that I think are realistically in play at number 9. Obviously, I'd love to mention Quinnen Williams and and Nick Bosa, but we won't. I think Noah Fant, tight end from Iowa, and Andre Dillard from Washington State are very much in the picture at number 9, which we'll get to more in depth with some of the takes that are coming up here later on. I think that being predictive, this is just my guess. My guess as to the way Brandon Bean would stack those players that you mentioned. Number 1, Ed Oliver. Number 2, TJ Hockenson. Number 3, Jonah Williams. Number 4, DK Metcalf. Number 5, Juwan Taylor. Number 6, Christian Wilkins. Number 7, Brian Burns. Number 8, Montez Sweat. The biggest thing that you guys might be thinking right now is, wow, Joe, you put Montez Sweat at number 8, and then for a lot of reasons, he really kind of fits the mold of what the Bills have drafted in the first round. He's a Senior Bowl guy, 36-inch arms. He's a prototype in terms of size for the position. Very productive, over 30 tackles for loss and over 20 sacks in his two seasons at the SEC. Let me tell you this. I did some work on Montez Sweat, specifically stemming from his situation at Michigan State. He started his career as a tight end at Michigan State, and very quickly he was off that team. And I talked to two different sources that I have from Michigan State, very reliable, that have given me good information in the past regarding Michigan State. And the information that I learned led me to believe that Montez Sweat will not be a target for the Buffalo Bills. Now, I don't know who he is today or what type of character he has or how people perceive him, but 5 years ago, there's a lot of questions about this guy, and I know the Bills, you know, they're very thorough, they do their work, and I just would be surprised if Sweat was the pick based on what I learned. I reserve the right to be wrong, all right? But that was enough for me to put him at the bottom of this list, and that's me just being predictive here. Playbook Record says, "Hey Joe, I was hoping you would chime in on what you think the NFL player comparison ceiling/floor are for the 9 potential Bills prospects you mentioned on Monday's show. For example, I believe DK Metcalf's comparisons could be ceiling Julio Jones, floor Kevin White. Thanks. Would love to hear your take." I think this is a good question. I think Playbook Records, his name is actually Craig. He signs his emails Craig. So thank you for this take, Craig. For my comparisons high and low that I'm going to give you here, don't get caught up in stylistic comparisons. What I really went with was more career trajectory in terms of the types of career I think they could have, good or bad, high or low. So with that said, DK Metcalf, my ceiling is Calvin Johnson. My floor is Braylon Edwards. For Juwan Taylor, my ceiling is Trent Williams. My floor is Levi Jones. For TJ Hockenson, my ceiling is Travis Kelce. My floor is Jake Stoneberger. For Noah Fant, my ceiling is Jimmy Graham. My floor is Jordan Cameron. For Brian Burns, my ceiling is Jason Taylor. My floor is Aaron Maben. For Nick Bosa, my ceiling is Joey Bosa, and my floor is Chris Kelce. For Quinnen Williams, my ceiling is Kawan Short. My floor is Damian Lewis. For Josh Allen, my ceiling is Danielle Hunter. My floor is Junior Gallette. For Ed Oliver, my ceiling is Geno Atkins. My floor is Dan Klecko. So I didn't want to, you know, I got a lot to get to here, so I didn't want to elaborate too far in depth, but I think that would, if you think about the players I just named, it'll give you some type of a range in terms of career trajectory. Todd Kroll says, "Hey Joe, what is the over-under for the actual number of players we add in the draft? Previous draft strategy of moving up and depth of this draft makes me think it will be 7 or 8. So I guess I would set it at 7.5. I think this is a really cool question, Todd, because, you know, I've said it a lot that I don't think the Bills have room for 10 draft picks on their roster. They've added 17 unrestricted free agents, and they haven't lost a lot of free agents either. So you think 17 unrestricted free agents, 10 draft picks, that's 27 spots. I mean, that ain't going to happen. And I think that I don't necessarily love the depth of this year's draft, although every time a draft happens, I always really can see myself liking a lot of the day three talent. But I think this year probably not, I'm not as enamored with it. So I think you'll see the Bills move up potentially from 40, potentially from 73. And they have 7 day three picks. Here's some information for you. 40 and 73 on the trade value chart. If you package those two picks together, that gets you to around 25 in the first round. So the Bills could trade 40 and 73, come away with an extra first round pick there around 25, and then still have 7 day three picks available. So you get 2 first round picks, nothing in the second and third, 2 fourths, 2 fifths, a 6th, and 2 sevenths. I'd probably do that. I would probably do that. So your over under is set at 7.5. If they did that, that's 8 picks. No, that's 9 picks. I'm not a math guy. It's 9 picks. I think they could trade multiple times. So I'm going to say The Bills come away with seven total players. I'll take the under, but I think the appropriate odds is 7.5. I want your takes on that. Hit me up on Twitter at TheJoeMarino. You tell me over under 7.5. Todd, that's a great discussion point. I really like that. Brandon Brissino, he's got two for me here. He says, how would you rank the following linebacker prospects? He's comparing this year and last year's first round caliber linebackers. He had Roquan Smith, Tremaine Edmonds, Leighton Vander Esch, Devin White, and Devin Bush. The good news is I score all prospects numerically, so I can always answer this question because they're all graded the same. So if you look at how I graded these players, it would be Tremaine Edmonds. We're going to do a super show on Tremaine Edmonds. That was a request of somebody recently. I'm going to get to that. But Tremaine Edmonds was my number three overall player last year. So if that tells you what I think about Tremaine Edmonds, there you go. So Tremaine Edmonds, Roquan Smith, Devin White, Devin Bush, Leighton Vander Esch. That is how my numerical scoring system would rank those prospects. The other question from Brandon is, this assumes Ed Oliver is already taken by pick 9 and the Bills want to trade down. Where would you feel comfortable drafting someone like Christian Wilkins or even Jeffrey Simmons? I'm going to talk more in depth about Christian Wilkins here in a little bit because I had a very specific question on him. But I would feel comfortable taking Christian Wilkins anywhere from 10 to 15. I don't hate him at 9. Honestly, I don't hate him at 9. There's certain players I think the Bills realistically could pick at number 9 that I would much rather have Christian Wilkins. So 10 to 15 is good for me with Christian Wilkins. Think about Jeffrey Simmons. My gosh, he's a special football player. I think he's a top 5 talent in this class if he's healthy. The problem is he's not healthy. He tore his ACL recently, and he's got that domestic issue. There's videotape of him hitting a woman. And I think those two things are very much concerning. Jeffrey Simmons, by all accounts, the reviews on his character right now, people rave about him. People around Mississippi State love Jeffrey Simmons and will you know, they'll pound the table for him, which is good. But, you know, if you take him in the first round, that means that the headliner of your draft class is a guy with an ACL tear that will not help you in 2019 and has that passed. So I think that pushes him down. From a talent perspective, he's a top 5 caliber player. And so the question remains, Brandon, where would I take him? There's going to be a team in the end of the first round, a team like the Colts or the Rams or the Patriots or the Eagles that are going to take him, and they're going to be really happy. They're going to wait a year, and then they're going to get a friggin' good player. I think certain teams can get away with him. The teams I just mentioned, they can get away with him. The Bills picking in the top 10, an important year for them, feels like they're ready to take a step forward. Can you live without the production? I'd take him at 40. If I were the Bills, I'd take him at 40. No, I had no problems about that. But the Bills aren't a team that are in position to not get returns from their top pick. I think they need to become a foundational piece of the roster right away. Ryan Stilla says, hey, Joe, I hear the Lions want to trade down. What do you think the compensation would be to move up one spot? Every little bit helps to secure Ed Oliver or a preferred target. And then Ryan went on to elaborate. He talked about how the Patriots have done this in the past. So I did the math. Well, I didn't do the math. I looked up a trade value chart, and I learned that it's about 50 points. To move from 9 to 8, it's 50 points. 50 points is about what one of the Bills' second or fourth round picks are worth. So you would give up for one spot up in the first round, you would give up a fourth round pick. So there's your answer. That's what it would take. I don't know if I'd do it. I mean, if you were guaranteed, well, no, I would. I would do it. If you were guaranteed to get your guy and move up one spot and give up a 4, I would do it. Just kind of a funky situation to think about that. Sumit Agarwal says, your thoughts, draft Jonah Williams or Jawan Taylor at 9, then trade Deion Dawkins and our third round pick for Jadeveon Clowney, sign him to a big contract that is front loaded so we can hopefully pay Allen in 4 years, solves offensive tackle and pass rush needs. So would the Texans accept a third round pick and Deion Dawkins for Jadeveon Clowney? I don't know. I don't know that they would. So I think that a couple people have kind of brought this up lately, like could the Bills trade some of their offensive linemen? And some, you know, the Bills got something for Marshall Newhouse from the Panthers. Remember that deal? Was that last year? So I don't rule out the possibility of trading one of these guys. Deion Dawkins probably has the most value. Two more years left on his rookie deal. Had a really good freshman season. Did not have a great sophomore season. But I put this on Twitter. Like, Deion Dawkins went from his rookie season having Richie Incognito as his left guard and Eric Wood as his center to in his second season having a revolving door of Russell Bodine, Ryan Groy, Wyatt Teller, and Vlad Dukas as his centers and left guard combinations. Come on now. You know, that's going to make him look bad. That's a difficult. Now, he didn't play as good. He had what I think the biggest thing was his penalties. He went from 4 penalties in 2017 to 13 penalties in 2018. He gave up a couple more pressures, and then his run blocking was much less effective. But I think that the penalties and the run blocking really speaks to not having as good of players around him. So would the Texans take it? I don't know if they take that deal. A 3 and a Deion Dawkins for Clowney. Would they take it? I'd do it. If I were the Bills, I'd do it. I just don't know if the Texans would. Interesting discussion point there. Matt says, I know you've said you like Justice Hill a lot. Justice Hill is a running back from Oklahoma State. Any other mid-round running backs you'd like to see the Bills take? Every year that I do this draft stuff, there's mid-round running backs that I like. So Justice Hill is definitely one of those guys. Mike Weber from Ohio State, I think he's a multifaceted back that runs with a lot of nuance. Rodney Anderson's interesting, right, from Oklahoma. He's had a lot of season-ending injuries, but if he was healthy, he'd be the top running back in this draft. Are the Bills a team that could take him, redshirt him for a year behind Shady and Frank Gore, bring him out as one of the top two backs in 2020? I like James Williams from Washington State. He catches the football really well. Elijah Holyfield from Georgia, if you're looking for a banger. There's guys on top of guys. Miles Gaskin from Washington, Travion Williams from Texas A&M. I mean, I can get on board with a lot of guys. Check out my running back rankings on thedraftnetwork.com. My day 3 grades start with Mike Weber, who's my number 8 back, and then they just keep going. And I probably stop liking the options at about 23, where I have Caron Higdon. So my RB 8 through 22 are all players that I think I'd be fine with in some way, shape, or form on day 3. Let's see here. We got Brian Bradigan. He says, anything to the fact that the Bills have had no Alabama players in for the pre-draft visits. Maybe they feel comfortable with Dable's previous experience working with them. Really enjoy the show. Thank you, Brian. I think that probably says a lot, right? That the fact that Dable spent an entire year with these kids at Alabama and has a good read on them, and you only get 30 pre-draft visits, and you know, you can, because you're familiar with those players, you can use those pre-draft visits on other players. So I think that's kind of what it comes down to. I'm sure the Bills have a ton of interest in a lot of these Alabama players, Jonah Williams, even maybe Josh Jacobs. You know, I'm sure they'd love to get, they brought in Quinnen Williams. They did bring him in for a pre-draft visit. Is he coming in this week? Something like that. He's part of the visits. But yeah, I think it just comes down to, hey, we know these guys intimately. Let's use these 30 pre-draft visits on players that we don't know. Aaron Wagner says, instead of trading a day 3 pick for Gerald McCoy, what do you think about Solomon Thomas? Younger, 5th-year option available, former high pick, team with the team backup with Harrison. Think it's a great option depending on the cost. Well, I think you can trade a day 3 pick for Gerald McCoy. We know exactly who Gerald McCoy is. He's been in this league for almost a decade. 6-time Pro Bowler. We know who Gerald McCoy is. We don't know who Solomon Thomas is. I mean, he's top 3 pick. Hasn't lived up to that. He's been a disappointment for 2 years now. But you'd have to think that his cost is considerably higher. So you're going to pay a higher cost for a younger player that hasn't played well, or a day 3 pick for a player that's proven. Now, I get that there's a big trade-off in terms of the contract that Gerald McCoy has, basically paying him $13 million a season for the next 3 years versus, you know, the kind of a lower figure with Solomon Thomas, plus that fifth-year option, plus a higher ceiling in terms of long-term potential. I see what you're saying here. For me, though, give me that veteran for the day three pick instead of paying something higher for maybe I'm just a coward. Maybe I'm a coward. But, I mean, I see what you're saying here. I think that's fair, but I'd go with McCoy in a day three pick. Malaysian Bills. Hey, Joe, what's your thoughts on Jakai Polite? I've seen his sliding lower down the ranks on many boards, but he could be an intriguing third-round pick. In that case, the Bills could focus on interior defensive line and tight end slash wide receiver for the first two rounds. Yeah, listen, Jakai Polite's really interesting. I think, you know, 2 months ago, you would not find a mock draft without him going in the first round. And his combine performance really pushed him down. I mean, from what we've heard from the team interviews, his media interviews were really funky. His testing was poor. His pro day testing was poor. He just seemed really not prepared for anything that he was supposed to do this draft process, which is disappointing because it's so important, right? And you're going to give, you know, to think about it like a regular job, like you're going to give, the jobs are going to go to the candidates that are prepared for the interview and interview well. Well, Polite didn't do that. So, yeah, I think the first round's out for him. So you kind of have to ask yourself, well, when's the right time to draft him? Is the third round? To me, yeah, the third round would be a great spot to draft him. Here's the silver lining with Jakai Polite is this. He didn't get worse at football. The reason people mocked him in the first round is because his tape's good. Really good flexibility, really good speed rush, and a lot of different pass rush moves. And he was very effective this past season. He didn't get worse at football. He just didn't know how to prepare for the combine, which is concerning. I'm not dismissive of that. But there's a good football player there. And yeah, at 73, give me Jakai Polite. I don't think you can count on that. I don't think you can say, we're going to get Jakai Polite in the third round, so we're going to do these other things, right? Because you just don't know what's going to happen. But there's going to come a sweet spot for Jakai Polite where it's going to make a lot of sense. And he's a player that I'd be willing to give him a shot. Talented player, man. He rushes the passer. And he has been injured, right? Like he talked about that he was trying to show the teams that he was tough. And he's grinding it out through a hamstring injury or something. Well, that's the thing about like this testing that he's had. It doesn't make sense because he is a very good athlete on film. So, yeah, I get it. Like, I believe that he's legitimately injured and is trying to tough it out because there's nothing about the way he's tested and looked this postseason that's anything like what he showed on tape. So there's going to come a point in time where it's the right thing to do to invest in him, and some team has a really good chance of getting a steal. Next one comes from Nicholas Serino. He says, hey, Joe, I keep hearing the Bills' D was overrated last year. Opposing teams knew the O was bad and didn't need many points to win. With Allen and the O set to take a step forward this year, will the D need to improve too? People say the Bills' D was overrated last year. I don't know if I agree with that. I think that, yeah, the complementary football, a better offense is going to make the defense better, but I don't think teams took the foot off the gas. They're like, hey, we don't have to score that many points this week because this offense isn't that good and like it's making the defense. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. The personnel is really good. Coaching is very good. Situational football is really good. So I don't think the D was overrated. I do think adding to it is important. You've heard me talk a lot about the defensive line and the needs there. Yeah, I don't think the defense should be overlooked, but it's certainly well ahead of where we were offensively. So there's that. Justin Hawks says, you're the GM of the Bills. You're the GM of the Buffalo Bills. Your top three realistic options for the first three rounds of the draft. I go back to the mock that I did a few weeks ago. It was Ed Oliver at 9. It was Chase Winovich at 40, the edge rusher from Michigan. And at 73, I got Cahal Waring, tight end from San Diego State. I like that a lot. There's other things that I'd be happy with. I think that's my dream right now still. I mean, maybe, you could go a different direction at 40. Maybe Cleveland Farrell gets there. If I get a little bit more dreamy, let me get Cleveland Farrell in the second round instead of Chase Winovich, even though I love Chase Winovich. So there you have it. Josh McCarty says, I've seen a couple beat writers and national guys mention Andre Dillard as a name to watch for the Bills. How would you feel about him at 9, and how does he compare to Williams and Taylor? It sounds like Andre Dillard's in play for the Bills at number 9, and a lot of people call him the best pass blocker in the class, which makes sense because he's got great feet, moves really well, has length, you know, 4-year starter for Washington State, has all the traits to be a really good pass blocker in the NFL. Now I'll say this, like, who's he facing in the Pac-12 that's a good pass rusher? Like, he's going to be tested very differently in the NFL compared to the way he was tested at Washington State. First of all, like I said, not any good pass rushers in the Pac-12, to be honest with you. But then you also think about, like, the style of offense that Washington State played, getting the ball out quick within 2.5 seconds. He's not the pass block for very long. Now, that doesn't take away from his traits. Like, he's got really good lateral mobility, really good foot speed, really good length. Like, I'm not dismissive of that, but I mean, I think that's why I'm a little skeptical with him. You know, I don't think he's a surefire thing where Jonah Williams and Juwan Taylor have faced top competition every single week in the SEC. How do they compare? I think, you know, to me, I've said repeatedly here that Juwan Taylor is the best offensive lineman in the class. He's got size, mobility, power. He's multifaceted in terms of winning on the move, pass blocking, run blocking. Checks every box. Jonah Williams, a tick below. Everything's so clean with Jonah Williams, except for he's got to work on his punch, because he's got plenty long arms. 33 5/8 inch arms is plenty long, but the bottom line is he does get outreached on film, and that does allow blockers into his frame, and that does compromise his anchor. So he's got to get that figured out, and I think that probably stems from being a little more effective with his hands to vary the way that he punches. And keep pass rushers guessing on his strikes so that they can't get into his frame and clearing his frame. Like, if guys get on his pads, he's got to get more swipes and learn to refit and replace his hands. So if he didn't have that one problem, I think he's awesome. But it's something he's going to have to correct. Intangibles NFL Pod says Tony Pauline has reported the Bills are considering 3 players at 9, Ed Oliver, Andre Dillard, and one other. Is this an intentional leak by Bean? Dillard doesn't seem like a McDermott guy. He seems to value guys who are nasty and can play multiple positions. That's a good follow-up point there on Dillard, is that he doesn't give you an edge. You know, like, the Bills seem like they've been very intentional about the offensive linemen they brought in. You know, the 6 guys they brought in are all people that have that nasty about them, that mauler mentality, guys that want to put people on their back. And you don't get that from Dillard. You're not going to watch this tape and say this is a guy that wants to move bodies. Now, first of all, playing at Washington State, he literally never fired off the ball and rolled his hips into contact as a drive blocker in the run game. So, like, that's something he's going to have to completely learn to do. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a good point. You know, look, I mean, Tony Pauline, what he said. He said the Bills are down to those 3 players, and he also said they love Drew Sample, a tight end from Washington. I've not found Tony Pauline to be a consistently reliable source of information. I'll leave it at that. Tiger Season says, will Russell Wilson affect the 2019 NFL draft? Listen, I am stunned that we're even talking about this. If you're Seattle, there is no way Russell Wilson ever plays a football game in the NFL, not for the Seattle Seahawks. Pay him whatever he wants. There's no trade compensation that makes any sense. He's one of the best 3, maybe 5 quarterbacks in the league. I wouldn't take 6-17 from him from the Giants. I would not do it. If I'm Seattle and I'm entertaining trade packages, you better give me a really good quarterback plus some first-round picks. You better give me Sam Darnold in the number 3 pick in the draft. You know? Like, that's where the conversation starts with me. Here's one scenario that I thought was somewhat interesting, though. I'll play Fantasyland with you guys here for a second. If I'm the Carolina Panthers, I'm calling them up. I'm calling up Seattle, and I'm saying, you give us Russ, I'll give you Cam and our first-round pick. See what happens. See what that gets you. But I cannot believe that Russell Wilson will be traded. If he does, yeah, huge implications on the draft. Part of me just does not believe that can happen. Daniel Michalik says, hey, Joe, love the show. Thank you. Glad to hear of another Bills fan here in Charlotte. Yes, there's many, many of us here in the other Queen City. Should the Bills consider Christian Wilkins at the 9th pick if Ed Oliver is gone? I think tight end and O-line has a lot more depth and draftable players in this draft. So here's the thing with Christian Wilkins, and I think if you guys recall my first discussions about the draft, I was really kind of talking up this idea of Christian Wilkins being the pick for the Bills, being predictive with that, because there are so many things about Christian Wilkins that scream Buffalo Bills. He's a process guy. You know, when I think about Clemson and the success they've had recently, Dabo Swinney deserves a lot of credit, but to me, it's about two players that they brought in. First of all, Deshaun Watson. Second of all, Christian Wilkins. Big reason why they've been so successful. Christian Wilkins is a guy who's very accomplished off the field with his academics, very accomplished on the field. He's a guy that people rave about his football character. I've been to a lot of Clemson games here over the last couple of years and saw Christian Wilkins play live, and this is a dude that plays special teams, and he's on the field goal team, and when Clemson scores a touchdown, Christian Wilkins is the first dude on the field ready to line up on that field goal team, man. I'm telling you, that's the kind of stuff that like coach is going to really care about, especially like, you know, Sean McDermott. So I think that he's very much a McDermott guy, very much a process guy. So it makes a lot of sense. Plus he plays a valuable position, 3 technique and a 4-3 defense, something that if, you know, I talked about this yesterday, I think that that's the one spot on this roster where I don't think the Bills have a preferred NFL starter. You know, and so to me, you get a foundational piece of your roster, a football character guy, and at a valuable position. I'm okay with him at 9. I really am. And I can see him being a realistic option for the Bills. Jake Lux, I love this because when I said this on Monday's podcast, I thought this to myself. And then you sent this in, and I think this is really good, and I want to explain myself. You said on today's show, you said that you like Josh Allen for the Bills more than Brian Burns. However, you said Brian Burns was the better pass rusher and that neither is accomplished at setting the edge at this point. So why Allen over Burns? Size question mark? Very good point. So for me, yes, that's what it comes down to. You've got 249 pounds, Brian Burns, who bulked up to get there. He probably played in the lower 230s, mid 230s. For Florida State last year, put on weight, got to 249, and you know, he still showed, he tested extremely well. So happy to see him get bigger and maintain his athletic ability. However, Josh Allen already over 260 pounds. And so to me, thinking about a 4-3 defense schematically, I think Josh Allen is a better fit. I like Brian Burns more as a prospect, but I think Josh Allen is a better fit. I think with Brian Burns, you're probably relying more on him being a space player. Even though with Josh Allen, he's more of a proven space player, I think that you have a better ceiling with Josh Allen defending the run and a somewhat similar ceiling as a pass rusher. I think Brian Burns is well ahead of Josh Allen in terms of pass rushing from the technical side, but that's my reasoning. I just feel like it's a cleaner fit for a true 4-3 defense that the Bills employ. When I talk about Brian Burns for the Bills, you always kind of hear that caveat of this allows more scheme multiplicity and they can do more with him and they can open up the different fronts that they play. So there's that caveat with him. And now I think year one, neither one's going to be on the field often on early downs, right? I just feel like they're both, you know, for them to exchange power with NFL right tackles, they both got some work to do. Last one comes from Di Summers. What day three linebacker do you see as a developmental prospect that has raw tools to replace Zoe after this season? The name that screams to me for that type of thing is Justin Hollins from Oregon. He was the defensive MVP of the Shrine Game, and he's a player that really, I mean, and a lot of the ways, a lot of what I talk about with Brian Burns in terms of a lot of length, a lot of flexibility, ability to play in space, but gives you that edge rushing upside as well. He's probably like the C-minus version of Brian Burns. I think he's a day three value guy that can play off the ball, and then a guy that on passing downs, you're going to want him rushing off the edge using his speed. Really showed well for himself during Shrine Game practices, and then, of course, during the game. That's going to do it for us today, guys. I think that was 20 different takes and questions that you guys sent in. Maybe 21. I'm not sure. It was at least 20. So thank you so much. I say this every week, it feels like, but when you do a show like this, you always get a little nervous that you're not going to get the participation, but you guys come through every single week, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. You guys improve this podcast by making me talk about what you want to hear about, and I love that. Love that engagement. Please keep doing it. Hashtag Twitter Tuesday at the Joe Marino on Twitter. You can also send me an email, joe@thedraftnetwork.com. Water Cooler Wednesday coming up for you tomorrow. Very excited about that show. It'll be draft heavy, and we're going to get into some different scenarios and some reaction type stuff. So that's going to be a fun show. Don't miss it. Hit the subscribe button, rate and review the podcast. And until tomorrow, thanks so much for listening to Locked On Bills.